Good morning. Father God, I want to thank you this morning for your goodness, for your blessings, for your power, your authority. And Lord God, this morning, I want to thank you that your will is being done on earth as it is in heaven. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to play something for you this morning. And I hope you get it. Because everything I went through the past month happened to be related to this. Now, what I'm going to play for you is an audible clip. And it's a clip from a book called The Altar by Jeremiah Johnson. I want you to listen to the clip. I want you to form your own opinions. Listen carefully.
The election that changed everything. The election that changed everything. On the night of November 3rd, 2020, I sat in my living room in North Carolina watching the U.S. election with Mario Murillo. We had just arrived back from Washington, D.C., where we saw many souls saved and an energized crowd gathered in support of Donald Trump and a third great awakening in America. As Mario and I sat on the couch that night and discussed what God wanted to do in the years ahead, I recalled to him an incredible three-part dream that I had in late September of that year. It was later published in October online and went viral around the world. In the dream, I saw three specific events happen. The first event was the Los Angeles Dodgers winning the World Series. God spoke to me that this was a sign that he was not done with California and a mighty revival was coming. The second event was of Amy Coney Barrett being set in place as Supreme Court Justice before the U.S. election. This was a sign that a mighty Esther movement would be birthed and the earth and Roe v. Wade would be greatly challenged in the days ahead. The third event in the dream was of Donald J. Trump winning the U.S. election. When the U.S. Senate confirmed Amy Coney Barrett as a Supreme Court Justice on October 26, 2020, before the U.S. election, the second event in the dream that I received had come to pass. The very next day, the Los Angeles Dodgers won the World Series on October 27, 2020. The first event I saw in the dream had now come true. With two out of three events being accurate, I was now certain that Donald Trump would win the 2020 election. As the polls began to close on November 3rd in various states, Donald Trump gained key victories in Texas, Ohio, and Florida. Based off the past history of the U.S. elections, it was nearly impossible for him to lose the race with winning all three of these key battleground states. However, as the clock began to reach midnight Eastern time, suddenly votes stopped being counted in several northern states. I vividly remember looking at Mario in disbelief in my living room, knowing that something was shifting. We finally went to bed around 3 a.m., and in the weeks that followed, we watched as Joe Biden was declared the winner of the 2020 U.S. election. Due to the three-part dream I had in September that was published around the world, our ministry became the largest target of almost every major news outlet in the world, from the New York Times, Washington Post, Politico, and Business Insider to Christian outlets such as Christianity Today, The Christian Post, and Relevant Magazine. Everywhere I turned, we began to be heavily criticized and attacked. My initial response, because two out of the three events had come to pass, was to defend the third event. I even went as far as to initially claim online that the 2020 U.S. election had been stolen, and with time, God was going to work everything out. We just needed to pray for truth and deception to be exposed. In December, although mainstream news outlets were continuing to mock and target our ministry, millions of Christians were still standing on the prophecy that somehow Donald Trump would be declared the winner. We received an untold number of letters, emails, and phone calls of support weekly from so many saints and leaders from around the world. The date of January 6, 2021 had been set for the Senate to confirm the 46th President of the United States. The likelihood of something being reversed after that date was very low. After Christmas time, I knew I needed to seek the Lord for clarity regarding my response to everything that was happening. Was I to continue to stand and declare that Donald Trump really was the winner and that the 2020 election was stolen, regardless of what the outcome was? Or was the third part of my dream inaccurate and I needed to publicly repent and ask for forgiveness? As I sought the Lord in prayer, I bore the weight of knowing literally millions of people around the world followed our ministry. due to high-profile television interviews, best-selling books I had authored, and national speaking engagements, my name and voice were elevated in various places, even beyond my own comprehension at the time. My next decision was going to have to be a massive impact across a landscape of the body of Christ. The public apology. It took several days for me to find clarity from the Lord in late December. I needed to shut myself in and stop watching the news. I wanted to make sure my mind and heart were not being influenced by any other source than the Holy Spirit. One night as I was seeking God, all I can say is that he made himself known to me. I immediately began to weep and tremble as I felt him step into my home. I instantly knew what must be done. I needed to publicly repent to the body of Christ and ask forgiveness for inaccurately prophesying Donald Trump would win re-election. The Holy Spirit was very clear to me. Jeremiah, the mandate on your life is to prepare my bride for the coming of the bridegroom, and getting overly involved in political matters will pollute the call on your life. You must repent and return to me with all your heart. After this encounter, I reached out to several seasoned leaders in the body of Christ. They advised me to wait until after January 6th to make a public statement regarding my apology. I felt because of the millions of people around the world who followed our ministry, I needed to write an open letter of public apology. On January 7, 2021, that apology letter was distributed across all our social media platforms. Almost every major news outlet began publishing that letter, and I could never have prepared myself in a million years for the fallout and change that was coming to my life and ministry in the months ahead. Death threats and vitriol. Sellout. Betrayer. Coward. I will kill you and your family. These were all statements that were repeated again and again through phone calls and social media commentary and emails in the weeks that followed my public letter of apology to the body of Christ. Here are several more exact quotes to help the reader understand what we were receiving at the time. You are a freaking jerk. I love my president, and you are no different than Mitt Romney. You're a false prophet, and once Donald Trump is still the president, you should go die in a hole somewhere. Your apology was asinine, and no one ever wants to see your face again. You have given up faith in God and should be publicly stoned. How dare you apologize for God, you moron? Hold the line. To my shock, these statements were all coming from those who had partnered with our ministry and supported us for years. I had expected to be labeled as a false prophet by many outside the charismatic world who expect a 100% accuracy rate all the time from anyone claiming to be prophetic. But I could have never prepared myself for the vitriol, threats, and harassment that came from the charismatic movement. On March 8th of 2021, Christianity Today published a viral article called Trump Prophet Enraged His Followers by Apologizing, detailing the response of so many charismatics toward my public apology. Due to the intensity of the attacks that were coming from every side, I once again decided to shut myself in and seek God concerning the future of our ministry. What was I to do concerning so many close friends and ministry partners turning on us? The most common responses that we received were angry messages stating, Jeremiah, stop this. You do not have to repent for anything. Trump won and the Democrats stole the election. Sitting before the Lord, I was expecting him to give me direction on how to navigate through all the turbulence of the season. How could I better address and bring peace to all the newspaper articles and anger toward us in the body of Christ? Son, I want you to shut down your ministry. These were the exact words I heard in the secret place that shook me to my core. I instantly began to reel internally while simultaneously weep and wail externally. Shut down my ministry? Yes. I want you to delete your social media accounts and public following. I protested with numerous excuses. How would I take care of my staff and their families? What about the platform that he had given us that had the worldwide reach and took over 10 years to establish? He continued, you have been operating in a room for over a decade that includes preaching about external realities, but it has become polluted with prophetic commentary on political events. I want you to enter a new room where you're solely focused on my return and the preparation of my bride for the wedding day. I want you to build me a wedding altar in the earth. I remember being in my garage several days later, hysterically crying over what God was asking me to do. With close to 1 million active online followers and subscribers across our social media platforms, I just could not fathom shutting it all down. I seriously wondered if I was going insane. Maybe all the attacks and criticism regarding my public apology had gotten in my head and I was mentally unstable. The financial loss and further criticism were more than I could fathom. In a moment of desperation, I decided to make a phone call to a mother in the faith who I knew had been praying for me through this entire process and led an established ministry herself. Surely she could talk me out of what I believed God was asking me to do. "This is the way of the cross, Jeremiah, and exactly what God is asking you to do," she exclaimed with joy and laughter. On the other end of the phone, I nervously laughed and then bawled my eyes out. "Really?" I said. "You bear witness that I should shut down this ministry and start over?" "Absolutely," she said. "It's no longer about you and your ministry. God is clearly asking you to birth an end-time movement in the earth that is going to touch a generation. If you do not let this die, what God is calling you into will never live." Terminating Jeremiah Johnson Ministries. In March of 2021, I made the public announcement I was officially terminating Jeremiah Johnson Ministries with all of its followers. In the days that followed, we lost tens of thousands of dollars in monthly partner support and millions of followers online. The vitriol and hate mail intensified. The newspaper articles kept circulating. I was canceled from so many conferences and churches that it was deeply embarrassing. Several pastors whom I had close relationships with over the years flat out told me, and I quote, "If you want to come minister at our church and speak on eternal realities, we are not interested. However, if you would like to come and prophesy about politics and current events, we would love to have you back this year." While many might expect that I would experience great discouragement and despair after shutting down our ministry and receiving the untold numbers of attacks and death threats, what actually initially happened was the exact opposite. By getting offline and completely focusing on eternal realities, I began to experience a realm of joy and relief in greater measure than I had ever experienced in my entire life. I chose two passages of scriptures to focus on every day, Isaiah 6 and Revelation 4. In the months that followed, I became completely disoriented to be reoriented. I was given grace to become more familiar with the vision of God on the throne and the supernatural activity that surrounds it than I had previously been with politics and current events. It was liberating, to say the least. Freedom from witchcraft. As unusual joy filled my life in March, April, and June of 2021, I do not want the reader to think the road was not also tumultuous. On July 21st of 2021, I was invited to share at the National Prophetic Summit in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The host asked me to share about the criticism I had endured and what God was revealing to me through it. After I testified and attempted to get off the stage, a group of the prophets present rose from their seats and met me on the steps. They asked me to get back on stage as they wanted to pray for me. I was surprised by their spontaneous action. As they began to pray, they declared that the power of witchcraft would be broken off of my life and ministry. They said the way the charismatic movement responded to my public repentance was totally uncalled for. "All the curses, death threats, and spiritual attacks have to cease," they said. Immediately, my body began to respond to their declarations, and I hit the floor. I wept and shook violently. One of the women who came up actually grabbed my face as I lay on the floor crying and said, "You are not a false prophet, and I bind the spirit of shame over you right now. You will not believe these lies any longer." Another prophet said, "I see your prophetic mantle rejuvenating and coming back to life." After all of these unexpected deliverance and breakthrough taking place on the floor, Bishop Joseph Garlington, a well-respected African-American leader in the global church, came forward and sang a song over me. It was called "I Will Restore." He then prophesied over me that the national attacks on my life and ministry were broken and that I would not only recover what I had lost, but would gain even more because of my posture of humility and heart of repentance. A new man emerges. As I left the meeting that night, totally shocked and blessed by what had taken place, another prophet ran up and reminded me that all this took place on the 21st day of the 7th month of 2021, He then quoted Haggai 2:1, which says, "In the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Fear not, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once more, in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts." The next morning, I woke up in the hotel not even feeling like the same person. I called my wife early and said, "Honey, something has happened. I have been delivered from the spirit of witchcraft and feel 1,000 pounds lighter." It's honestly hard to give language to what happened to me. Although God gave me grace and joy through the process in the early months of 2021, the attacks and curses we had endured over a six-month period were severe and had taken an enormous toll on me. In fact, I did not fully realize just how demonic what we had gone through really was until the following morning. Looking out the hotel window that morning, it was as if color returned and I was seeing clearly for the first time in months. I'm eternally grateful to that group of prophets who sprang into action and declared life over me. I hope to have the opportunity to do the same for another brother or sister walking out their own God-ordained process in the days ahead. When I returned to our headquarters in Charlotte the following day and shared with my staff what had happened, we immediately recognized what we had all been battling as a team and prayed together. He works all things together. Could God use an inaccurate prophecy, a public apology, demonic witchcraft attacks, and becoming the national laughingstock of so many to humble me, chastise me, and refine my focus to exactly where he wanted me to be? Did I need to taste the success of human platforms and fame for a decade, only to realize in the end that they are nothing compared to the wedding altar that God is preparing the earth for his son Jesus? Is being a friend of the bridegroom really enough? In the words of John Loren Sanford, "The budding prophet will be thrashed, beaten, humiliated, scorned, laughed at, and rejected. He will fall into error and arise, only to fall again, until, in every part of him, like Nebuchadnezzar, he knows with grass in his mouth that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will." Daniel 4:3.
In the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every knee should bow. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every knee should bow. In heaven and on and under the earth, every tongue acknowledge. In heaven and on and under the earth, every tongue acknowledge. Hey, whoa, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hey, whoa, to the glory of God the Father. God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every knee should bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge. In heaven and on earth and under the earth, every tongue acknowledge. Hey, oh, that
You for two reasons. In the beginning, he said that as he was sitting there with Mario Murillo, God clearly told him that too much politics was defiling his ministry. Read it for yourself or get it on Audible. And this is what he suffered as a result. All the people I sent to California under that tent suffered from the effects of shamanism and witchcraft. You see, Jesus said in Luke 14:27, come after me. Follow me. To follow Jesus, brothers and sisters, will fulfill your greatest purpose, which is to magnify him. Trusting him will meet your greatest need, namely the forgiveness of sin. Loving him will give you your greatest pleasure, the supreme joy of knowing him and being taught by him, gives you your greatest wisdom that he and he alone possesses. Abiding in Jesus imparts the greatest power. Jesus, in his all-sufficient grace, brothers and sisters, walking with Jesus provides you with the greatest fellowship you will ever know. Communing with him, traveling the path with him. There is no journey on earth that can compare. This is why I say to you, yes, God gives us facilitators. God gives us people to learn from. But the Bible says, put your trust in him. Don't be so quick to judge people like you know everything. You don't even know the things of God except he reveals them to you. I'm telling you the truth this morning. I wanted you to hear this. I want you to hear somebody that got so high up there in a minute, he made a mistake. He made a mistake because he thought he knew. I'm going to tell you something. When we pray and worship Jesus on our face, when we go low with him, there ain't no other way to go but up. Stop judging. stop thinking you know so much with your limited and infinite wisdom. And the most important thing, half of you don't even read. You don't search out this, all them lies on YouTube. And some of you actually think YouTube is the Bible. Crazy. God got a much bigger plan. And it's his own plan. And sometimes he got to bring you low in order to bring you up. I want you to remember one thing. He loves you. And sometimes it has to be your own pain that you have to come into to understand just how much he loves you. But I'm telling you, the goodness of God brings you to repentance. Repentance being godly sorrow and turning around and turning away. And did you hear what the man said? When it was all over, he said he had to be delivered from witchcraft. Did you hear him? The people that went under that tent out there in California all had to be delivered from shamanism and witchcraft. Why? Why? Wasn't there enough power, not only for those one or two or three that got a miracle, but what about the thousands that left there bound by witchcraft? What about the thousands that left there bound by witchcraft? I'm showing you witchcraft in the reality. In the darkness of it, in the dubiousness and the deceitfulness of it. And as of yet, you ain't seen nobody flying on no broom wearing no hat, but they can fly now through astral travel and soul travel. I'm trying to tell you, God loves you. He wants you to know the truth. He's equipped you for this end time battle, which is going to be with the deceiver, the rule, witchcraft. Open your eyes and see.
Even things I can't see, I am so free.
can't remember the exact date. Some of you on here might remember. God said, Erica, I want you to go to Dalton, Georgia. I want you to rent a room in the convention center. The witches are coming together to bind President Trump. I want you to pray against the binding. I want you to bind the witches and the witchcraft from Dalton, Georgia. I have an open heaven there. And brothers and sisters, the witches became more visible, more open, and their witchcraft became despicable. But you see, that would have been in 2000. What year was that? You remember, Brother Joe? Gosh. 220? Right at the election. You remember, Sandra? God was preparing all of this even before that. We came, they put us in the basement of the convention center, and we prayed. I'm still here. I'm still waging war on witchcraft. The battle is winnable. You hear what I'm telling you? The battle is winnable. But God got to open so many eyes, so many ears, so many hearts, so many people that are ignorant to the ways of witchcraft. So many people that have given over to the power of witchcraft. The battle against witchcraft is winnable. God said so. And God got a troop already prepared, already in the process, already been enlisted in this army of this witchcraft war. You hear what I'm telling you? But God had to raise up a people. A people with a heart after his heart. Well, what you mean by that, Erica Shepherd? October 18, 2018. Thank you, Jessica. October 18, 2018, God sent this ministry, me, here to wage war against witchcraft. And the devil is mad. But I gotta tell him something. Devil, you ain't seen nothing yet in the winnable war against witchcraft. Everybody can't stand. Everybody will not stand. Then that means they aren't the ones God called to win. But I'm putting the devil on notice today. You ain't seen nothing yet. I'm still here. You took some out, raised some up, took some down, and then you took some down and elevated them higher up. You ain't seen nothing yet, devil.
Have you been praying and you still have no answer? Have you been pouring out your heart for so many years? Have you been hoping that things would have changed by now? Have you cried all the faith you have through so many tears? It's like the sunrise waiting
Yeah.
lies try to pull you under. When you're desperate for something true, let your heart hear the voice of the Father, cause he believes in you. When you're lost and you're broken hearted, when your dream is an open wound, he's holding you at your side again. He believes in you.
I say God believes in you. I say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Today. Said I woke up to the summer shining through. Calling on my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today.
I ain't gonna let no cloud get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I see. Catch me sitting in the sun, no top of shade.
Today.
Ooh, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh,
and I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna be joyful. Today. I'm gonna be joyful.
I'm telling turning the TV down, drowning their voices out, cause I believe that you and me can find some common ground. See, maybe I'm not like you, but I walk a mile in your shoes, if it means I might see the world the way you do. Let's take some time, open our eyes, look and listen. We're gonna find we're more alike than we are different. What would Jesus do? He would love first. He would love first. What would Jesus do? He would love first. Yeah, he would love first. So we should love first. What a kindness, deep revolutionary. And if we let hate get so ordinary, let's turn it around.
Something good for the wind of the head.
something good is about to happen for you. Get ready. Get ready. Brothers and sisters, we've taken the ground that had to be taken up to this point. We are occupying the land, and we won. It's just another battle, just another mission in front. We won. We're winners. Satan lost. He lost, and he's mad about it. But you see, I'm going to try to find this little song. When you're a winner, you're a winner. Winners never lose unless they quit. I'm not a quitter. I'm not a loser. This ministry is a winning ministry. It doesn't matter whether you can see it or whatever. It just don't matter. This ministry is a winning ministry because Jesus always wins. He's already won. He cannot lose. Don't you get it? He cannot lose. It's a trick of the deceiver. It's a trick of witchcraft. But you know what? We are winners over witchcraft, taught how to win, taught the way of winners by God, not by man. Here's the song. I'll see you tomorrow.
Everybody knew us as Satan is an original lion. And I want to tell the whole world that Satan lose. Man, it's a fun to see, a fun to see Satan lose. Such a fun to see, a fun to see Satan lose. Jesus is the winner man, the winner man, the winner man. Jesus is the winner man, the winner man all the time. But I am on the winning side, the winning side, the winning side. I am on the winning side, the winning side all the time. Read Matthew chapter 2.
ascended. Yes, he's coming back again, binding slow foot for ourselves and ears. Such a fun to see, a fun to see. See it and lose, but it's a fun to see, a joke to see. See it and lose. Jesus is the winner man, the winner man, the winner man. Jesus is the winner man, the winner man. The winner man, 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 the winner man